Gemara says, Omamar. They're quoting from the Braisa that was quoted earlier. We mentioned, sometimes the Gemara says Omamar, sometimes the Gemara says Gufa. When they're quoting something from before and they want to expand on it. So when did they say Omamar, when did they say Gufa? So Rashi writes that Omamar is a little more respectful. So that's when they're quoting a Mishnah or a Braisa, they'll say Omamar. When they quote a Memra from an Amora and they want to re-quote it again and expand, then they'll say Gufa. But there are a lot of Gemaras that contradict that. So some say just the opposite of Rashi. The Omamar is when it's an Amar, and Gufa is when it's a Tana, and they're so whatever the rule is, there are a lot of exceptions to the rule. It does make a difference which way it is. Okay. Omamar, says in the Braisa before earlier, the beer should not take place on Friday night. Friday night, you're not allowed to do a beer rishana on a besula. What's the reason? Mishum chabura, because it's going to be dam besulim, and if you cause bleeding, that's a malacha. What exactly is the malacha? So the Tosfos is on the next daf. Tosfos is on him at base. Dam. So the Tosfos says time of the chabura. What's the reason why it's a malacha to cause bleeding? Chabura means bleeding. What's the malacha? Look, Kipirish Rashi, not like Rashi, Nemishum Tzaveya. Tosfos shows Rashi is wrong. So Tosfos quotes the Ri, know that it's Mishum Netilis Neshama. What's Netilis Neshama? Because the Pasuk says, Ki Adam Hu Anefesh. Somehow the world of medicine didn't know this till recently, that the blood circulates in the body and the blood keeps the animal alive, keeps the person alive. The blood circulation keeps the animal alive. And causing bleeding is a prina of netilas neshama. Not only if you kill the whole organism is netilas neshama, Tosfos uses a melitza, malikot lakula, malikot lapalga. What's the difference whether you kill the whole organism or you kill the drop of blood? If you cause a drop of blood to be lost from the circulatory system, the dam represents ki adam ha-nefesh dam, because the blood circulatory system keeps the animal alive. So bleeding is considered that you made that blood dead. That's called netilas neshama. The Gemara has that lashon. Most people know it from Baba Kama in Perek Meruba. The Gemara says malikot l'kula, malikot l'palga. The Gemara is talking about dalad dehe, the chiyuv of the ganef to pay of tovach ha-mocha. But not what Tosfos is referring to. Tosfos is alluding, there's a Gemara in the end of Nidah that has exactly this thing. That malikot l'kula, malikot l'palga, that is called netilas neshama. That's Tosfos' shita. And the third Rashi shita is that it's Tovea. Make a black and blue mark is Tovea. Tosfos says, no, the black and blue mark indicates that that dam, that blood is dead blood. That blood that got stuck, that got caught in the black and blue mark is not going to be circulating anymore. So just like if you cause bleeding, the blood leaves the body, even if you make a black and blue mark, you bang like this, that blood is dead. So that's Netilas Neshama and the Malach of Shochet. And the Rambam has a third sheet. The Rambam sheet is that it's Dosh. That is a told of Dosh is if you squeeze out Zeisim Anovim, so this too, or if you milk a cow. Dosh is if you have Ochelam Solas connected. That's how it grows from the ground. You have Ochelam Solas connected and you detach them. You detach it, but it's still all mixed in together. Then you're going to do Borah. Then you're going to separate it. But the detaching of the two that were connected, that's a Dosh. So if you have milk is connected with an animal and then you milk the cow, you're detaching. The milk was originally connected and now you're detaching it. So the Pashtus and the Rambam assumes that milking a cow is zisha. So the same over here, if you cause bleeding, the blood is in the circulatory system of the body. If you cause bleeding, so the blood was connected with the body. Now you detach it, that's zisha. Yeah, the difference is halach l'maisa. We'll have to discuss the tesis, yeah. It's usually assumed like tesis because the Yerushalmi says like tesis. So Pella, the tesis doesn't quote it. But the Yerushalmi says beferish in Perek, Klal Gadol, where the Mishnah lists off on Dafa and Gimel, all the obvious malachas, Mishalmi said eating, is a tov of Netil Sham. So that's why we usually assume like this. Okay. Well, we'll get to the Gemara. Here on the base, we'll have to discuss it further, because the Gemara gets involved in details. So the Gemara says like this, on the last line, Bishleim Beber Shabbos Mishum Chabura. Here. To do Bir Rishayna on a Psula on Friday night, Erev Shabbos means Friday night. We call Erev Shabbos Friday. But in the Gemara, Erev Shabbos means Leil Shabbos, Friday night, is a malacha of Chabura. Let's say you're marrying an almana. She already has children from the first marriage. Then there is no dam besulim. There isn't going to be any dam besulim. She's not a besula at all. So then it should, for sure it should be mutter to habir rishayna on Shabbos. So that's what the Tosfos in Yuma, the first perek, a famous Tosfos in Yuma that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, both in Hilchos Shabbos and in Eben Ezer. Tosfos says no. And when you do the bir rishayna by the beula, by the almana, by the grusha who already had was living with the first husband, the bir rishayna constitutes the nisuin. And to make nisuin on Shabbos, that's an iser mishum mekach hamemkar. Just like you're not allowed to do mekach hamemkar to buy or to sell gzeira shem ayichta gzeira derabanan. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says in the end of Beitza, emikachim, you're not allowed to be mekadosh an isha. You're not allowed to do nisuin either. So if it's a young girl who's getting married, she's a psula. So when you stay under the chuppah, that constitutes the nisuin. You do the yichud, that's the nisuin. When you do the bir rishayna, that's bir rishayna, that's not the nisuin. So bir rishayna is a dion. If she's a psula, it's going to be a dion of malacha. It's also mishum chabura. But if it's an almana or a grusha who already was living with the first husband, she's not a psula. So then Tosis quotes Yerushalmi that the chuppah with the yichud, nothing is kind of nisuin. You have to have dafke, the bir rishayna is kind of the nisuin. So if you're going to do bir rishayna on an almana on Shabbos, that's also. That for sure is also absurd. If I care from the way usually learn the Gemara in the Bavli, the whole issue is only by a psula. You're not allowed to do bir rishayna mishum chabura. But if she's not a psula anymore, there's no chabura, what is there to be worried about?
No plug?
Huh?
There's no plug here?
No. Why should there be a
reason?
Yeah. They never made a special gzera. Bir rishayna is also by a psula because you're making a bleeding dam psula. If she's not a psula, there isn't going to be any dam psula. We paskin is mutter. We paskin bir rishayna of a psula is mutter on Shabbos. But bir rishayna of a b'ula is also on Shabbos. Why? Because that is the nisuin. Because the chuppah is not koina. Achidish, yeah.
So if he toasts us, why would you even need to do the chuppah, the whole process by a mono or a grusha anyways? Why?
It's meaningless. Arachanami. According to Tosfos, it's meaningless, yeah. So what do you say? You say the bichas nisuin. When does she get married? On Thursday. Psula Nis is Yom Avi, and an almana gets married on the Yom HaMishi. So you get married on Yom HaMishi, and let's say they didn't do bir rishayna until Friday night. So what they say, the brichas nisuin, a day in advance? A day and a half in advance. Ooh, what's going on here? It's a pella. So Rav Chaim Bar Lojina holds that the whole thing doesn't make any sense. He said the Yerushalmi doesn't exist. He said they never said it in the Yerushalmi. But that's the way Tosfos read the Yerushalmi, that chuppah or yichud, whatever, constitutes nisuin by a normal girl, by a psula, doesn't work by bu'ula. The only thing that works that makes the nisuin is the bia.
What's the, there's a large gap between the psula and almana. I assume it's not dafka almana, because that's only the esponet. It's also a grusha, presumably. What about a stav bulgaris? What about someone who
has nus
at some point in their life?
What about nus? Yeah, if the girl is a ba'ula, yeah. Nobody understands why. So we said that some achreinim during the lifetime of Rav Chaim Bar Lojina, one of the gedolim gave the following suggestion: that when the Yerushalmi, when Tosfos had this Yerushalmi, that the chuppah is not kind of by a ba'ula, it means like this. The woman is an almana, she's 65 years old. Not she's an almana at the age of 20. Her husband was killed in the Israeli army or a terror incident. No, the girl is 65 years old. So she's not expecting to have any more children at that old age. So if your girl gets married at a young age, it says in Shulchan Aruch that when the chassan goes to do the badek and the rabbanim are supposed to give a bracha, achaseinu atayili alfi revavi, you should have a lot of children. She'd have a big family. But if the woman is an older woman, we don't give her bracha. She have a lot of babies. She's 65 years old already. A miracle is not going to happen. Like, sorry, Imenu. So the reason why you get married outside, the Ramah has a meaning to get married outside Tachas Kippus or Rekia, to invoke the blessing that was given to Avraham Avinu. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Vayotze Osa Achutza. Avraham Avinu was in the Ohel. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, go outside. Vayotze Osa Achutza. Look up, Tzvaka Chavim Metucha Lispar. Koye Zarecha. So if the girl is young and she's getting married and we want to give her a bracha, she should have a lot of children, she should have a big family, so we have her get married outside. So when you have a chuppah outside, in the middle of the street, so the chuppah is cholik rishus. The idea, that's what we spoke about. What is a chuppah? Why is a chuppah koina? So some achrayim held, there's a major machlok, some achrayim held, the chuppah is koine, because it's a tzuras ha-pesach, and has to be kana mikan, kana mikan, the kana al gabeim, the cloth has to be on top of the two poles, otherwise not tzuras ha-pesach, and then since this constitutes a tzuras ha-pesach, that's like achnosel imshus habal. The definition, the difference in definition between an arusa and an nesua, an arusa is an eshes ish lo beis habal, and an nesua is an eshes ish beis habal. And that's why the Tanoim Darshan, the Chippa Bado B'Yad Beso, the first mission in Yuma, Kohen Gadol has to be married on Yom Kippur, Beso Zu Ishtoi, so the Gemara says in Yuma has to be a Nesua. If he only has Erison with the wife, that's not sufficient. Chippa Bado B'Yad Beso, Beso Zu Ishtoi. And Rashi and Kiddushin also writes, that's a Gemara in Yuma, Daf Yud Gimel. Rashi and Kiddushin, Daf Yud Gimel also writes, how do you know Eish is Kohen, Achel is Betruma? So they're two different psukim. So the Gemara says, how do you know Arusa L'Kohen? If a girl has kiddushin with the kohen and atar, she eats truma. So Gemara quotes the pasuk, "Kohen kik nefesh kinyan kaspa, hai nami kinyan kaspa." The kohen buys a behemoth, he can feed truma to the behemoth kohen. He buys an ebeknayin, he can feed truma to the ebeknayin shalak kohen. So he can feed truma to his wife arusa. So Rashi writes in kiddushin daf yud gimel, you only need this new pasuk by arusa. How do you know nisua la kohen is ochelus betruma? If the girl is not a Kohenis, she's a Leviya or Yisraelis, and she marries a Kohen, and the Abnisun, how do you know she's Ladi Truma? Rashi says, no, that you have a different pasuk. It says, Kol Tor Bebeischa Yochal Kodesh. Beis is a Wishtoi. So Beis is a Wishtoi is only Nesua, Rashi said. That's the Rashi in Kiddush and Yud Gimel, based on the Gemara and Yumadaf Yud Gimel. It's a Beverish Gemara, Vechipa Bada Bad Beisoi, is only during Nesun. There are some Echaz that there's an Afkamina Ladina about this. He says, that's a girl is only arusa l'koyin. Is she ocheles because of a shok? Somebody brings a korban shlamim to the Beis HaMikdash. So it says in the Chumash, it says in the Sira, from Mishnah, it says, Amakoyman. It says, Amurim mehem kir, it's a behem elosh, Amurim necho l'koyin, l'shneim, l'evneim, l'yabdeim. That an ashes koyin is ocheles, Amurim mehem, when you take out the chaz of a shok from the korban shlamim. So the Osamech has a Yerushalmi that doesn't read straight, so he thinks that what it's supposed to say in the Yerushalmi is that Arusa Einu Achelas Men HaTorah by Chaz of Ashok. Because the Pasuk Kohen Kik and Hafshi Kinyan Kaspo, that only goes on Truma. That doesn't go on Chaz of Ashok. The only Pasuk that gives the wife the right to eat Chaz of Ashok is the Pasuk Kol Tor Bebeischa Yochal Kodesh. Kodesh goes even on Chaz of Ashok. So that's only Bebeischa, Beis HaZulish, only in Esua. She's only in Arusa, is not. It's a question. The Mishnah says about the shlamim. Amar mehem kiyotze behem ela the chaz b'shoyk al shem nech lekoyin l'shem l'avdeim liavdeim. How did they know liavdeim? How do you know that an eved koyin is echad b'chaz b'shoyk? There ain't no pasuk. Nobody asks it. Sapella. According to the Yor Samech, where is there a pasuk? The pasuk that says kinyan kaspo. Kinyan Kaspo relates to Behemoth coin, relates to Ebeknaiba coin, relates to an Arusa also. Kinyan Kaspo doesn't apply to Chaz of Ashok, it only applies to Truma. And Kol Tor Bebeischa Yochal Kodesh only goes on Nesua, doesn't go on Arusa, doesn't go on Ebed coin. So how do you know that an Ebed coin is Echol B'Chaz of Ashok? That's a deep dark secret. We don't know the answer. But there's a difference between an Arusa and Nesua. So by definition, the Arusa is an Eshesish Shalob Beis Habal, and the Nesua is an Eshesish Beis Habal. So how do you change it? You do Hachnosa L'Veshusoi. Nesuin is Hachnosa L'Veshusoi. How do you do Hachnosa L'Veshusoi? So the Gemara says in Exubas later, if they Nichnasu, let's say they were married, they had Erison, and they enter into a house for the purpose of Nesuin. So if they enter into her apartment, she lived in one apartment, he lived in a different apartment. If they entered into her apartment, so it has to be explicitly the shame nisuin. If he just went to visit her, so it's not necessarily assumed that that's the shame nisuin. But if they entered into his apartment, even if they didn't say explicitly, you assume that that is the shame nisuin. So you see from the Gemara Beferish, hachnasa l'rishusa doesn't mean his rishus, that he owns it. He doesn't own her apartment, she owns her apartment. Hachnasa l'rishusa means they entered into her room, the shame they did, hachnasa l'rishusa baal, the shame nisuin. So we have a chuppah, and the chuppah constitutes a separate room. Kana mikam, kana mikam, kana galbeim is a tzuras ha-pesach, like when you make an erev, there's like four mechitzes. So they chasen kala walk on the chuppah, that's like hachnasa l'vishusay. So the gedolim, the contemporaries of Rav Chaim Elozner, said like this, this meaning that the Ramo has, that you get married, tachas kippas or rekiyah, to invoke the blessing, this meaning existed already in the days of the Talmud Yerushalmi. That's very questionable. Is it really true? So that's a premise number one. And then the Yerushalmi is saying like this. When a girl is getting married for the first time and you want to give her a blessing, so you want to invoke the blessing that was given to Avraham Avinu, so you have a wedding outside. The chup in the middle of the street, it's chalik rishus bifnei atzma, because the street is open, there are no mechitzes around the street. What if a girl is getting married, she's already 65 years old? So you're not going to give her a blessing, she should have a lot of babies. She's not going to have any more babies. She's over the age of having babies. So she doesn't get married in the street. The whole idea of getting married in the street is to invoke the blessing of kol yezarech, kol yashamayim. So if you shtel a chuppah inside the building, so the walls around and around swallow up the whole chotzer, and everything is one big rishus. So if you make a room in the middle, you put a tzuras ha-pesach in the middle, that's not chaylik rishus bifnei atzmai. Unless you have like this, unless the chuppah will be in the corner. It's not, if the chuppah is in the middle of the room, so the rishus of the chuppah swallowed up with the whole big rishus of the whole room. So what do you mean he did achnasa l'vishusa? There are 150 people in the room. There are 500 people in the room. Why did he did achnasa l'vishusa? Unless you have it in the corner, like you have here, there's a building. So this room is separate from the next room, separate from the hall. Each one is separate. It's not that you have a room inside a room. If you have a larger room, then you have a room inside the room. So the room inside the room is not cholik v'shus b'fnei atzma. The walls of the outside room swallow everything up. So that's what the Gedolim, one of the Gedolim during the lifetime of Rabbi Chaim Elanjian understood that that's pshat in Yerushalmi. If an Alman is getting married, it means if an older girl, doesn't mean psula versus bu'ula, doesn't mean grusha versus the first time, it means if an older girl is getting married, if she's going to get married inside, or if it's snowing outside, and then the minig is that you don't shtel a chup outside in the snow. The Achraim say we have a minig to marry tachas kippas or a kid, but they say you shouldn't make a chil Hashem. What do you mean a chil Hashem? Sometimes they insist, the chassidim insist on getting married outside, even if it's raining or snowing. I told you, I remember I was once at a chuppah, and the chuppah was purple dye on the cloth. And it was raining and snowing outside, and the gala was wearing a white gown. So the purple dye was dripping down on the gala's gown and staining the gown. And all the goyim in Williamsburg were hanging out the windows and laughing. What are these stupid Jews doing? The girl's gown is getting ruined, is getting stained. So that's what the Achrayim say. And you have to say, you should get married outside, but don't make a chil Hashem. It means if it's raining or snowing, you don't get married outside. So let's say snowing or raining, and you shtel a chuppah inside the house, so then the chuppah is not kaina. So then you have to rely on the Bir Rishayna. So then, even by Psula, you couldn't have the Bir Rishayna on Shabbos. This is what the contemporaries of Rav Chaim Volozhin have said. It makes a difference whether the chuppah is inside or outside. That's the pshat. Rav Chaim Volozhin didn't like it. He said, why should it make a difference whether the chuppah is inside or outside? But I think that's what they meant. The chuppah is inside, so the whole thing is swallowed up with the walls of the room. There's such a Hagos Ashri in the first perik in Sukkah, makes such a distinction. That if you have a chotzer that has walls around it, then you have in the middle of the chutz, you have a pasib biros. So the pasib biros is not considered chalik vishus bifnei atzma, because everything is swallowed up with the big one. But let's say over here, in Hilchos Shabbos, it could well be that what you have over here is a rishus hayochid already, because you have the walls lining the two sides of the street, all the way down. Then you get to Broadway, you have the building, the front, the storefronts. So you have gimel mechitzes deraisa. Sometimes you have a street that not only is it not a Rishus Aram Deraisa, it's not even a Carmelis, it's a Rishus Ayochid Benatur, because you have walls around it. So here, if you shtel a chup over here, it'll be swallowed up. It's like getting married inside. It's like it'll be swallowed up with the walls around. So that's a question. What did the Tosfos mean when they said this from the Yerushalmi? So those Gedolim and the contemporaries of Rav Chaim Elanjian, they thought it means whether the chup is inside or outside. And others say no, it means whether she's a psula or a bahula. That chuppah is not kind of for a bahula.
But for those contemporaries, if it was also a psula inside, then it would be the same issue, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's say it's raining, it's snowing, and you have the chuppah inside. So they would say, you're not allowed to have, we pass and you're permitted to do the bir rishayin on Friday night, and there's no issue of chabura. The Gemara is going to explain why. That's going to be on the next daf, on Hayamid Beis. But if it's going to be the Bir Rishayin is going to be the Nisuin because they got married inside, so then there's going to be the same problem by the Almana. That's the Shaila. Okay.
If you do Yichud Room, would that solve all the problems?
Yeah. If you have a room. If you have a room, so usually the rooms, each room is separate, like over here. We don't have another mechitza around and around that this room is inside a bigger. You don't have an inside. Everything is separate over here. Even the hallway is separate. There are no walls that go around and around everything. The outside walls of the building surround the whole hallway. But still, the hallway is mamish separate from all the rooms on the sides. Going into the apartment when?
Whenever they first go into the apartment, wouldn't that be the nisuin for the bia?
Probably would. I mean, if they got married on Thursday and they went to an apartment on Thursday night. Yeah. But let's say they get married. The meaning in Europe was they used to get married on Friday afternoon because they couldn't afford to have fleishiks more than once a week. They only had fleishiks on Shabbos. They couldn't afford to make a wedding in the middle of the week and then serve fleishiks again. It's too expensive. So they used to get married late Friday afternoon. And then the fleishik, the sudas hachasana, used to be the Friday night meal. So then what's he going to do? He's going to go into a room without the beer rishonim. So that'll be the nisuin. So it's kind of the nisuin on Shabbos. He's got married right before Shabbos. If they would have had the yichud in a room before Shabbos, then it would have been fine. Then there wouldn't be any problem.
So now you'd say it would be aser for them to go home. So that's a kinyan.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what these postmen said. So Abchaim Elohim has said that he doesn't accept the whole thing. He says, you tell me that he said it, then it's not true. Okay. So the Gemara first starts off. The Gemara is going to back out from this chapter, but that's how they start. Bishleima. The last line on Dalam and Ayah. Bishleima, one half of the Brisa, if you understand the Chayre, the Gemara is going to give a different shot soon. Bishleima, Friday night, Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to get married, Mishum Chabura. Ela Matzoi Shabbos, what's wrong with doing Malacha? Amai Loi, what's the problem? Amar Abzeira, Mishum Cheshbainas. We're going to have a Chasana on Matzoi Shabbos, then you're going to talk about money and how many guests are going to come and how to set up the tables and the chairs. Rashi says, the Yachsha b'Shabbos Matzorach Lahavi Lahotzi Uchsiv Adaba Dava. She's not allowed to talk. Shlohei Dibuchos Shabbos Kedibush Achol. Not allowed to talk about that. Amalei Abay. So Abay Tainus to Reb Zera, but this is Cheshbonis Shal Mitzvah. So Cheshbonis Shal Mitzvah is Mutter. Amalei Abay. Abay Tainus to Reb Zera. Cheshbonis Shal Mitzvah Miyasiri. I b'harap Chiz deb'harap Hamnuna Darmi Tavay. They both say Cheshbonis Shal Mitzvah Mutter L'Chashva M'Shabbos. Let's say you want to found the yeshiva. You want to hire a Rebbe. So you talk to you negotiate with the Rebbe on Shabbos. You tell him how much salary you're prepared to give him. He can make the negotiations. So you want to rent a building to move a yeshiva there. To have a shul, you're permitted to talk business on Shabbos if it's business that has to do with a mitzvah. Cheshbon Hashem mitzvah mutar b'chashma Shabbos. Next one says, postman tzok alanim b'Shabbos. Also, you're allowed to talk dollars and cents. Ochel b'atim knesis, or b'atim medrash, or l'afek chayach aliske rabim b'Shabbos. Tzorchit tzibur is a mitzvah. I'm Rabbi Yanke Bariri. Fakim b'kuach nefesh b'Shabbos. I don't think it means b'kuach nefesh. B'kuach nefesh avada is mitzvah. Nefesh decha kol ator kula. That's doicha chilol Shabbos. Here it means to take care of tzorchit tzibur on Shabbos is a mitzvah. I don't know exactly what it's referring to. B'kuach nefesh. And Rashi gives you a word b'kuach. I don't know what Rashi means over here.
It means extricate.
So what?
It sounds like b'kuach nefesh.
That's what it means. Okay, makes more sense. Pikuach Rabin, okay. I don't think it means to save someone's life. That's a different Gemara. Pikuach Nevish is a different din. This means Tzorchei Mitzvah. Tzorchei Mitzvah, Tzorchei Rabin, everything is Mutar on Shabbos. What does he say? Ocham Tartiyos, Lekarkiyois, Lefakech, Aliske Rabin Shabbos. You have to go to the governor's mansion, you have to go to the president of the United States, you have to talk about saving Jews from Nazis. So the Tzorchei Rabim is Mutter. Mishadchem ala tinoikus leyoris b'Shabbos. You're allowed to read a shirach on Shabbos, you're allowed to talk about money, ala tinoik l'lamda seif, l'lamda umdus. It's Mutter, everything is Mutter. That's what we say in the Zmiris. Yeah, we say chavtzecha asurim, v'gam lachshev cheshboines, that's what Rabbi Zera said. To do it behirur is mutar, only dabadover. Dibarasa hira muta, the Gemara makes a deal. Dibarasa hira muta. And then we say, well, the Shadach Habonis is muta to talk, the Gemara said. Vitinik lalamda sefer is also muta. Then we say, lamnatzech v'neginos. What does that mean, lamnatzech v'neginos? So they say the pshat is, the Gemara in the Dorm, Master Kasha in the Mishnah. Mishnah in the Dorm says that a Mikri Dardiki who teaches young children Tanakh is allowed to take salary. An older Rebbe who teaches older children in Gemara is not allowed to charge for teaching Torah Shmalpe. But for teaching Chumash, you're allowed to charge. So why is that? So the Rambam has a difference between Torah Shibachsav and Torah Shmalpe. But the Rambam is not what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara in Dorm gives two explanations. So one explanation the Gemara gives is that the young children, the Malaman is a babysitter. So he's charging money. He's Schar Shimur. He's charging money because he has to discipline the children. He's not allowed to charge money for teaching in Torah, but he's allowed to charge as a babysitter charges. The next mandam in the Gemara holds no. If they're older children, he's not a babysitter. Let's say a children your age, I'm not a babysitter. You come, you don't come. So that's not my responsibility. You take care of yourself. Then the Gemara gives the other explanation is no. When the Malama teaches them Tanakh, he teaches with the trup. And the trup is only the Rabbanon. You're not allowed to charge for teaching Torah, that's Torah deraisa. But for teaching trup, since trup is the Rabbanon, that you're allowed to charge for. But that's what it says in the Zmir. So, v'tinek lalamda sefer, you're permitted to talk on Shabbos about how much you're going to pay the Malamed. But the question is, how can the Malamed take any money at all? Moshe Rabbeinu says, Re'i limadati eschem chukim mishpatim kasher tzivani Hashem alokoi. So the Pasha Pshat is, kasher tzivani, I taught you the Torah just like the Rabban Shalom told me to teach you the Torah. So the Gemara says there's an additional level of interpretation. Kasher tzivani Hashem alokoi means I taught you the Torah in the same way the Rabban Shalom taught me the Torah. Just like when I was on top of Har Sinai, the Rabban Shalom didn't charge any tuition. So I teach you the Torah without charging any tuition. Mani b'chinam, avata b'chinam. Just like I didn't pay any tuition when I was learning Har Sinai, so I didn't charge any tuition. That's the din, you're not allowed to charge. So we say that it's an exception to the rule if you're going to teach trup, because trup is only the rabban. Then the Gemara says, but that gufa, that's a machloikas, because others hold that trup is the raisa. So that's when the Gemara comes on to the other explanation that it's chashimur, that the malami tinoikas, the mikri dardiki, the one who teaches the young children, in addition to being a malamed, has to babysit, he has to watch that they don't run loose, they don't get hurt. So we in the Zmiris, they put in lam natzef in aginos, that because the Rebbe is teaching the trup, that's why he has a right to charge. We don't really pass him like that. We assume that trup is their isa, not necessarily that the trup that we use is their isa. You should lane with an igin. You should lane with an igin, a surprise, a question, a comment. It should be the nigin should enhance the understanding of the psukim, the purpose of the trup. But there should be trup. The principle is that there should be trup. The Rambam writes as if it's a difference between Torah Shebachsav and Torah Shebalpeh. Why is that? That's Rabbi Hirsch writes about that in his commentary on Chumash. Rabbi Hirsch's commentary was written in German, so they translated all the German to Hebrew. But every so often he has a shtikl Torah in Hebrew, so that they didn't translate into English. That they didn't translate. So in the translation you don't have it. But if you look in the original, in the German commentary, so he has, I forgot already which parsha, he has this comment on the Rambam. He says, let's say somebody does know how to tie tzitzis on his talus. So he wants me to tie the tzitzis on the talus. I have to do it for nothing. Gemara says, Mani mechinim, afata mechinim doesn't only apply to Talmud Torah. Even though the original pasuk really marites chamechukim mishpatim kasher tzivani Hashem alokoi, Mani mechinim, afata mechinim. The original pasuk is talking about teaching Torah. But the Gemara says, if you maze poraduma water, you're not allowed to charge money. If you give hanotel schalahoid, you're not allowed to charge money to serve as a member of a bezin. If you get paid money to give testimony, it's kineged adin. Whenever you mechuyev to do a mitzvah, Shabbos Aveda, Gemara says you're not allowed to charge money for Shabbos Aveda because it's lined up in mani b'chinam. It's not restricted only to teaching Torah. It applies to performing any mitzvah. So let's say a person doesn't know how to tie tzitzis onto his bag. So he wants me to tie. Guy doesn't know how to write a pair of tefillin, the mezuzah. He wants me to write the mezuzah for him, to write the Torah tefillin, so I'm not allowed to charge any money. They always charge money. So which mitzvahs are you allowed to charge money, which not? So Rabbi Hirsch explains that the Rambam understood like this. If it's a mitzvah that you can do yourself, you tie the tzitzis on yourself. You don't know how to do it. So read a book. There are books that explain how to tie. You don't know how to tie the Kesher Shel Rosh, you don't know how to write the tefillin. Read a book and they'll teach you how. You go to the store, you buy hide, and you'll make it into parchment. You do all that. You want me to do it for you. I have a right to charge money. Whenever it's a mitzvah, you can do yourself. So then, to sprinkle paraduma water, you have to have his atohar al atom. You can't sprinkle on yourself. You have to have someone else tohar to do it. To give hanot l'schalodun, not l'schalohad. You can't testify for yourself. You need the witnesses who saw the story. They have to come and testify. You can't function as the dying and in the Torah. You have to have someone else. So whenever someone is mechuyev to do a mitzvah for me, he's not a hashavas aveda. If I could do the aveda myself, it wouldn't be hashavas aveda. If I can do it myself, so there's no mitzvah of hashavas aveda. So by definition, whenever the nature of the mitzvah is such that he can't do it on his own. So as far as Torah shebichsav, buy yourself a Tanakh, buy a dictionary, and break your head and read. You can learn Torah shebichsav on your own. So I'm allowed to charge money. If you want me to save you the trouble, I'm allowed to charge money. But if teaching Torah Shebal Peh, Bizmana Zeh, the Torah Shebal Peh, you buy yourself an art scroll and sit and break your head and get a dictionary, an art scroll, figure out the English words, the Hebrew words, the Aramaic words, figure it all out. You're lazy, you don't want to do it. You want me to tell you all the secrets? Okay, so then I have a right to charge money. But in the days of the Gemara, the Rambam was talking when the Torah Shebal Peh wasn't written down yet. That's the question. The Rambam was talking before the Torah Shabbat. The Rambam already had a Gemara. Rambam had everything written down. He had the Mishnah Torah. So that's what Rabbi Hirsch interprets. Torah Shabbat Peh is all about Peh. So I can tell a guy, learn on your own. How's he going to begin? How's he going to begin to learn on his own? Torah Shabbat Peh, you have to get a Masorah from someone who's going to transmit it orally. So someone else, like you need, he needs us to teach you the Torah Shabbat Peh. Once the Torah Shabbat Peh is already b'ksav, everything is available, then it's like Torah Shabbat Peh. He can do the mitzvah himself. So if he wants me to teach him, I have a right to charge money.
So why can't, how can you sell a mezuzah to a woman? Why can't you say that she can't write it herself? So then you shouldn't charge for it?
You know, a woman is puzzled to write a mezuzah. I don't know. Interesting question. I don't know. Got to think about that one, yeah?
Don't some of them hold that even it's better to do it without pay even nowadays, even after with the comments, I feel better to
Min is only mutter b'shas atchak. Es las l'Hashem efer terasech. If you're doing it l'shem shemayim, if you have no brera, but you should better is to try to avoid. We should close all the gemaras and I should say everything about that. Okay. Maybe that's the reason why the Rambam still quotes the din. Okay, whatever. But that's what it says in the Zmiris. That's what it says. Tinek l'olam the sefer and lo sharach habonas. That's mutter. Cheftei shamayim is mutter. Chafatzecho asurim. Lach shel cheshbonis is asurim. Behurim matorim. The Gemara says dibrosa hira mutter. The Gemara says that because it says in Yishai v'daba dover. Hirosa hira dibrosa hira mutter. And l'sharach habon is tinek lamda sefer, even the lamda umdis, that's a dvar mitzvah, so that's mutter. Yeah. What's the mitzvah of lamda umdis? Yeshiva University, Torah Omada. What's the mitzvah to study umdis? The Mecca Parnasa. Rashi quotes the pasuk in Koheles. The Gemara quotes the pasuk. Rashi is quoting the pasuk in Koheles. Koheles chapter 10, Reichai Mimisha Shahafta. What does it mean? Lemod umdis. Shetich Yehemena im HaTorah. And he says it's a Gemara Kiddushin. The father's mechuyev to teach his son Torah and Umnas. You have to make a parnasa. It's a mitzvah to make a parnasa in Eretz Yisrael. A lot of people have this attitude. It's an avera to make a parnasa. It's not an avera, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to make a normal parnasa, not to schnorr money, not to go beg for charity. Every person should make his own parnasa. So the Gemara says, why is it Osir to get married on Matzoi Shabbos? Or Abzera says, because we're afraid he's going to make the Cheshbanis on Shabbos afternoon. So Abai Tainis, that's Cheshbanis on Mitzvah, should be Mutter.
You say it's a Mitzvah to get Parnassus, so how come you can't make Cheshbanis for yourself? It's only Mutter to teach your kid of Umanis, but you can't talk about your Umanis, no?
It's a Mitzvah to make a Parnassus, so why isn't that Cheshbanis on Mitzvah?
I don't know,
good question. Okay, it's a good question. And Shulchanach says like that. It is a mitzvah to make a parnas. Everyone should make a parnas, rather than live off of charity. Yeah. Good question. Okay. So the Gemara says, all this is mutter. So what's the problem? Elam Rabzeir. Rabzeir backed out. Rabzeir said, no, I made a mistake. It's not because of the cheshbonis. Zeir shem yishchod ben of. Tosis has two gears of what it says. Gzer shem yishchot bo, of. Gzer he may sheft an of on Shabbos bo. Shabbos is lashon akeva, so she'd say gzer shem yishchot bo, of. If you have the chuppah, going to have the dinner, the chasana dinner is going to be matzoy Shabbos. Gzer shem yishchot bo, of. So Tosis says that the word Shabbos is both lashon zachar and lashon akeva. How do you know? So it says shemer Shabbos mechal alo. Usually Shabbos is lashon akeva. So Tosis writes, Gzeresh and Yishchad, if you have the gears of Gzeresh and Yishchad, bo, of, he may sheft an of on Shabbos. So then you're using Shabbos, Belosh and Zochas, usually Belosh and the Cave. Shamer Shabbos, Michal Allah, Kolosa, bo, Malacha Yumas. Kolosa, bo, Malacha Yumas. And then Tosis says, we have the gears of Gzeresh and Yishchad, ben of, meaning you'll shtecht a young bird. That's easy. Zog Zerah, he'll shecht the beim, until he's going to shecht the beim. So he's going to remind himself that today is Shabbos. He has to make a lot of achonis before he starts shechting behema. But to shech the young oaf is easier. So that's gzeresh hem yishchad beno. So you have two girsas. Gzeresh hem yishchad bo oaf, gzeresh hem yishchad beno. Tosis says the loshen ben oaf does appear. They quote from Kiddush and Daflam Edvav. Ben oaf. Mala ben oaf, yeah. So loshen anigma. So both girsas make sense. Amalei Abayi, so Abayi doesn't like the second reason either. Abayi didn't like the first reason. Gzer Mishum Cheshvan doesn't like the second reason either. Amalei Abayi, Alamayati, Yom Kippur, Shechavis, B'Sheni, B'Shabbos, Yom Kippur falls out on a Monday. Why don't we say Yidoche? What do you mean push it off? This year the high holidays will take place on Tuesday. What do you mean? How can push it off? You mean you should make Elul Me'uber. Usually Elul is only 29 days. In Tanakh, in Ezra Nehemiah, it says that Ezra Nehemiah is one book. And 24 Kisvaka, Ezra Nehemiah is one. The Christian Bible, they divided it into two. Like the Christian Bible divided Divrei Yamim Aleph, Divrei Yamim Beis, Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis, Malachim Aleph, Malachim Beis. In Tanakh, it's all one sefer. So Ezra Nehemiah is one book. The Christians made it into two. And Mara says the reason why Nehemiah wasn't Zeicha that Sefer should be called Nehemiah is because he's always bragging. He says, Zochale l'kai l'toivah. The Rebbeinu Shlom should farechen this as a schus, that I did this and I did that and I did the other thing. So he's bragging a little too much. So that's why he wasn't Zeicha that the book was named after him. So the Chidor writes in one place, how come today we call it Ezra and we call it Nehemiah? How come we call it two different books? So the answer is that we picked it up from the Christians. Don't understand around. We picked it up from the Christians. What can we do? So he doesn't, I don't know, he doesn't say that answer. He says, Nehemiah suffered enough. Nehemiah suffered enough. For some years we didn't call the book Al Shmo. So he was already Yitzhak. Hashem Gerot Gesafet. So now we call it a new Sefer, it's separate Sefer. The Sefer said, doesn't make any sense. When you write a Tanakh, all Bigli Lachas, on one long cloth, it keeps on going. So the rules and regulations, how many lines you have to leave in between one sefer and the other. So between Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis, you don't leave lines. It's one sefer. And Divrei Yamim Aleph and Beis is one sefer. Ezra Nehemiah is one sefer. Nothing changes. It's still one sefer. So tell her what he writes. Yeah?
The name of the sefer has no halakha significance.
Right. So the question is it one sefer or are they two svarim?
Okay. The Gemara asks why was Mizilcha that we call the sefer Nehemiah? So Lamaisa, we call the sefer Nehemiah. Whether or not it gets its own spot in the Tanakh.
We call it Nechem because we picked it up from the Christians, which
yeah,
we shouldn't have done.
Now we still say it. It's still Nikra al-Shmo. Who cares why? We call it Nechem. So the Gemara says, why was Mizilcha?
I thought the answer is we're doing wrong. We're not supposed to call it. It's not supposed to be a separate book.
Okay, but for the last 1,000 years, he had Mizilcha that it's called in his name, whether we're doing it or wrong.
Uh-huh. Okay. Could be that that's what he means. Could be. Possibility. Okay. So that's his taina. The Gemara says, "V'moisez v'yelach l'amitzil el miyuba." In Nehemiah it says that there were 2 days Rosh Hashanah. So that year, Chodesh Elul had 30 days. Usually, you have a woman majority of the years Elul l'amitzil el miyuba. Usually, Elul only has 29 days. So that's the Gemara's kasha yidoche. If Yom Kippur is supposed to fall out on a Monday, so they're gonna. There's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk, a mitzvah that arises to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. And the Gemara thought, at this point the mitzvah begins Matzoi Shabbos. So just like if you have a chuppah, Matzoi Shabbos, Gzeresh HaMiyishchad Ben Ov. So if Yom Kippur is going to be on Monday, then it's a mitzvah to eat on Sunday. So Leil Matzoi Shabbos is part of Sunday. So you shouldn't allow Yom Kippur to fall out on a Monday. Well, you shouldn't allow it. You should make Elul Me'uber, push off Rosh Hashanah another day, push off Yom Kippur another day. Yom Kippur should be on a Tuesday, so you won't have this chashash. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a concern. And for the Gemara, there are two differences. Number one, Hasan de la Napshe Leitorn, Hoch de la Chem Torit. By a Hasana, you have 150 people coming. So the guy's going to be nervous. He has to have a lot of chicken to serve to all the guests. Here, it's for himself. It's no big deal. He doesn't have to prepare so many chickens. He has a family. Whatever. He has his wife and his children. He doesn't have so many people. He doesn't have all the guests to worry about. There's one difference. And then the Gemara says another difference. Inami, Hosamisli Revocha, Hochalesli Revocha. By eating on Erev Yom Kippur, Rashi says the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur doesn't begin on Matzoi. Doesn't begin the night before Erev Yom Kippur. Begins in the morning of Erev Yom Kippur. Mashenikan over here, the chup is going to be Matzoi Shabbos right away after Shabbos. The guy has to have the chickens ready for the meal. But on Erev Yom Kippur, that's why he said, this Rashi, the professor asked the students if they knew the Gemara, if they're really learning Ksuvah. So Rashi says the mitzvah doesn't begin until the daytime. Shasuda Eina Ad Lamachar. That's the Rashi. Isli Evocha Shasuda Eina Ad Lamachar. Why is that so? So then it's it, in his commentary on the Shiltas, talks about this. So he said there's a basic discussion that was raised by Rebbe Kiveger in the Tshuvas. What's the nature of this mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur? Is it because the Chveis, it's a mitzvah, it's really a mitzvah to eat on Yom Kippur, but you're not allowed to? It's Simchas Yontif. So we yotze this Simchas Yom Kippur by eating on Erev Yom Kippur. Or maybe like the Gemara says in Psochim that there's a special mitzvah to eat elaborate meals on Shavuos. There's a machlokes, Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua, how you're supposed to observe Pesach and Sukkos, whether Chetzi L'Hashem and Chetzi L'Hashem or not necessarily. So we pass on like Reb Yeshua, Chetzi L'Hashem and Chetzi L'Hashem. But on Shavuos, the Gemara says, Hakol Moedim, all the Tanoim agree that you have to have elaborate meals. Yom Shenitnim B'Torah, you have to have an elaborate meal, a Kavod Kabbalah HaTorah. So Yom Kippur is also. Shavuos is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed the Aseres HaDibros. Yom Kippur is when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luchos Shnius. So you should celebrate also Yom Shenitnim B'Torah. The Mishnah in the end of Tainus has like that. The two jolliest days of the year used to be Chamisha Sabav and Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Bishleim Yom Kippur, we understand why it was a holiday that they celebrated Yom Shenit Moluch HaShnias. Yom Shenit Matara we celebrate. So Yom Shenit Matara is supposed to have an elaborate meal, but you can't eat on Yom Kippur. It's a tonus. So maybe that's why the Torah says you should eat on Erev Yom Kippur, because Yom Shenit Matara, or because Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov, so the Chiyuv Simcha. However you say, so is that the mitzvah? Then the mitzvah should be all day long. Halayla Hayom Halach Achra Halayla should begin Leil Erev Yom Kippur, and then Yom Kippur in the daytime. Or should I say no? Maybe the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur is a hachana to the tonis. You should eat on Erev Yom Kippur, so you should be healthy enough, you fool, that you should be able to fast on Yom Kippur. So it's not going to help. That's what the Nitziv suggests. If you're going to eat, you have to fast on Monday. It's not going to help. You're going to eat a big malava malka on Matzoi Shabbos. Whatever you eat on Matzoi Shabbos is going to be all gone by the time it comes Yom Kippur. Whatever you eat in the daytime on Sunday, on Erev Yom Kippur, that'll help you, that'll fill you for the tonus. But so that's what he thinks that this Gemara came to the conclusion. The Gemara came to the conclusion that the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, the mitzvah in HaTorah, the Gemara learned off in the Pasuk. The Tisha L'Chodesh Ba'erev, Tisha L'Chodesh on the 9th, you should fast. Nobody fasts on the 9th of Tishrei, you fast on the 10th of Tishrei. The Gemara says, Kol Eichel V'Shoyseh Be'erev Yom Kippur, you're supposed to eat on every Yom Kippur, so that'll enable you to fast on Yom Kippur. So if the nature of the mitzvah of eating is to prepare for the tonis, then it makes sense it should only be by Yom. And Kivega has a discussion in a tshuva whether the mitzvah of eating on every Yom Kippur is a mitzvah sasesh as magrama, and women are potter. Usually the women volunteer to do mitzvah sasesh as magrama. But he's talking about a case, a woman didn't feel well, so she would have preferred not to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, not to have a regular meal. So Reb Kiveger has a discussion. Is the nature of the mitzvah to prepare you for the tonus? So the women are mechayev to fast, so they have a chayev to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, Or should I say, no, maybe it's a separate mitzvah, eat on Erev Yom Kippur, and maybe it says, Bangramas, the women will be potter. On Shabbos, or on Yom Tov, there's a mitzvah, so that's Zoch v'Shomer. We had mentioned the Iran earlier today. Zoch v'Shomer, B'dibrech Nemru, that is one package deal. So the Kedusha Sayyim of Shabbos and Yom Tov is Machayev, the women, as far as the Loises, and not the Dumaloche. So the Kedusha Sayyim, it's one big package deal, so it's Machayev and the Essen as well. So the women are Machayev to have the Suda as well. But on Yom Kippur, you don't eat on Yom Kippur, you eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So you can't say it's one package deal. That's the only mitzvah you have on Erev Yom Kippur, is to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So maybe that should be as man grom. So Rabbi Kivega raises that Sofik in the Tshuva. So that's what the Netziv thinks, that was Maskonos HaGemara. Hocha Isli Ravocha. And Rashi says, the Chiyav Suda, a Suda Eina Ad Lamocha. Suda is only in the morning, not at night time. In Shulchan Aruch, how did this professor know this? Because in the Shulchan Aruch, there are two minhagim, they write that two minhagim on Erev Yom Kippur, they say a lot of slichas, they say very brief slichas. So the Ramos says that by Eastern Europe, they say only 15, 20 minutes of slichas. And in Western Europe, the meaning was that they said 2 hours of slichas on Erev Yom Kippur. Just like Erev Hashanah, you say 2 hours of slichas, Erev Yom Kippur also. So the Vilna Gaon explains what does it depend on. So the Nebi Ragroi says, on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Rosh Hashanah, we don't say slichas. On Shabbos, you don't say slichas. Rosh Hashanah, you also don't say slichas. Yom Kippur, you say slichas, because the Yud Gimel Midas, HaRachmim, when it's Galat Moshe Rabbeinu, on Yom Kippur. That happened on Yom Kippur. So that's why we say many slichas on Yom Kippur, always ending off with the Yud Gimel Midas. But on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Rosh Hashanah, you don't say slichas. So if the Chiyav Suda begins the night of Erev Yom Kippur, that means that the whole day is a Yom Tov. The night before and the daytime is a Yom Tov. So you do kitzer, you do slichas b'kitzer nimrat, you only say 15 minutes. But if you hold that the mitzvah of Suda only begins in the daytime of Erev Yom Kippur, there's no mitzvah to have a Suda, Leil Erev Yom Kippur, the night before, so then the slichas are always said by night. Yeah, by us, we don't do like that. We say slichas after in the morning. We say after the sun rises. But originally, the meaning was that they said slichas in the middle of the night. They would finish all the slichas before Alois HaShachar, not before the Zrich, before Alois HaShachar. So that's what the Vilna Gaon says, that these two minhagim depend on the two opinions, whether the mitzvah of eating Erev Yom Kippur begins by Bileil Erev Yom Kippur or only by Yom. That's why the professor knew it, because it's in Or HaChaim. Shai, that's the Gemara. Okay. Now the Gemara has a new Shaila. Iboy Lahu. What's now the Shaila? Sulan Nisus Berevi, Venevelis Berevi, Velech Hashinah Likrui Daita. You're not afraid he may find that she's a Ba'ula, which may raise an issue. She may have been Mizana during Erisin. We're talking Sulan Nisus. She was already in Arusa for a whole year. Then he's going to find that Pesel Pasuach, that sometimes she'll be Asura Labayla Misofik. Maybe she was Zinsa during Erisin. That's going to be the Sugi and Daftes. So maybe we shouldn't allow him to have the Diri Shoina on Yom Ervi. Chashinah Likrui Daita. He may forget about it. By the time, the reason why we have the Chasana, and when it should come to the Bezna Thursday morning, he shouldn't wait till he calms down. He should run to the Bezna all upset. Why Pesel Pasuach Mitzasi? She may be Asura Abayla, may be Asaita. Saita Vade Asura Abayla. So maybe if you allow when the Velas Barevi, maybe there'll be a Kuri Daita. Or Duma, maybe I should say no, Psulanis is Barevi and Velas Bachamishi, because Chashina the Kuri Daita. Are you Chashina the Kuri Daita or not? The Gemara is a Toshma. We have a Brisa that says, Psulanis is Liam Arvi and Velas Bachamishi. Why? Not because of the Kuri Daita. No, because of Brachas. An agadic reason. That's what Tosfos says on the earlier daf. Tosfos here says, as they explained earlier. What did they explain earlier? They explained on the previous daf that bracha ledogim, bracha ladam, huchba bokitav, all of these things, is not leikuvah. You can't say that there's a real din. It's a simen tov. The kala wears a white gown. She wants to wear a blue polka dot gown. You don't think. It's not a minig, that's mechayit. That's not a minig. A minig is only if there's some kind of a kiyuv. Here there's no kiyum, just because it's a simen toiv. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a machlokes, if you're allowed to, are you permitted to be makbid, not to get married, b'sof ha-chodesh, only to get married b'tchilas ha-chodesh. So some of the Rishonim, the Nemukhi Yosef in Sanhedrin, in Perek Arba Mises, quotes, The Rishonim held you're not allowed to look on the calendar to see when the moilud is, whether it's Sof HaChodesh or Tchilos HaChodesh. That's a violation of Losa Oneinu. Ona means man. To think that this man is luckier than the other's man, that's a Issa Lav. So they held, some Rishonim held, it's an Issa Losa Oneinu. So we come to the conclusion that even though you're not allowed to be makbid, but if you want to do it, the Siman Tov, the Siman Milsa, if you want to do the Siman Tov, you're allowed to. We permit you to look on the calendar, to schedule your wedding for the beginning of the month as opposed to the end. But it's not that there's a minute, you don't get married at the end of the month. It's permissible to insist on getting married at the beginning of the month. If you don't want to, you don't have to. You're allowed to get married at the end of the month. I got married at the end of the month. There's a sefer, Eimar Banim Smecha, people heard about him. So he was a Hungarian Talmud Chacham, and he wrote Shabbos HaTshuvos, normal, not Hungarian stuff, normal Shabbos HaTshuvos. No Litvish rabbi would be embarrassed to have that sefer. So he has that tshuva in his sefer. He says, there is no minig davken to insist on getting married b'tchilas HaChodesh. We permit you to look on a calendar to schedule it b'tchilas HaChodesh, but it's permissible to get married b'sof HaChodesh also. If all the other dates are booked, then you have a reason why. You don't have to postpone till the next month. Permissible. Yeah, so this also, these considerations, bracha l'dogim and bracha l'odim, this is a liyesa seis. Have a simon yof, but it's not liikuvim. So what does Bar Kapora write in the Braisa Toshma? So the Gemara says the only reason is time shim bracha. You don't have to be worried about that. Fine. There's no chashash of ikurei daita. He's not going to calm down because he had the beer rishayna 5 hours before Wednesday night. That you don't have to worry about. Then the Gemara says, what about an almana? Almana gets married, this is b'yom ha-chamishim, and develops b'shishi on Thursday night. Why b'shishi? Shema to'emer, divoil b'chamishim, if you'll permit them to have tashmish on Thursday before the shkia, what's going to happen? L'mocha, Friday, he'll go to work. Mashkim lum nusa, he'll go to work. And that's not right, because there's a chiyuv simcha. Chiyuv simcha means l'chos, and is mochiv to be misamech his wife. He has to stay home from work. Shok t'chacham ha-takonach b'nois Yisrael, if she's an almana, which are the Shlosh Yama? Chamisha b'Shabbos, Friday, Erev Shabbos, and Shabbos. These are the 3 days. So if he's going to have the Bir Rishayna on Thursday, he's not going to take off from work on Friday. Bir Rishayna on Thursday night, so because that was the day of the Bir Rishayna, so he'll take off from work. So he's supposed to, if the girl is a Psula, he's supposed to take off from work to be Mesamechar 7 days. And if the girl is an Almona, a Beula, then you only have to take off for 3 days. The Gemara is going to have later, it doesn't necessarily correspond to how many days of Sheva Brochas. How many days of Sheva Brochas is a different story. This is how many days is the husband mechuyav to take off from work to spend time with the wife, to be mesameach. Okay. Then the Gemara comments, Dorish Bar Kapora. What are they quoting this for? So Rashi said, because before we quoted Bar Kapora, about an agadic consideration, Bracha l'dogim, bracha l'adam, that's an agada, it's not a halacha, it's not binding. So now they're going to continue with some more agadata from Bar Kapor. Bar Kapor was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, the first generation of Amoraim.
The Gemara is not saying that the amount of stuff that he goes to work, there would be a kiyum of having 3 days, because if he had to be up Thursday night, that is considered like they had something special on Friday. The amount of shuffle he goes to work, but this way there was something on each day. On Yom Chamishi and the Yom Kippur Shabbos.
Again, what are you saying?
I thought he was saying that this way. What I mean, not that he won't go to work because they have to be Thursday night, but maybe
he didn't make it to work. He's allowed to go to work on Friday. I don't think so.
But like the amount of shuffle won't matter. But this way, at least he'll have been with her every day. Even if he goes to work, he had something.
That's
like
what it means.
I don't think so.
I thought it meant if he's going to have beer Rishayna on Thursday night, then he's going to take off on Friday. Because that whole day, he did something with his kallahs, he's going to take off the whole day. And he's supposed to take off the whole day. I don't think it means that it's enough as long as he had a Maisa Simcha with the wife. I don't think so. We got to look in the Shulchan Aruch, see what it says. Okay. So what do they quote the Agarata from Bar Kappara? When the Rebbeinu Shlom created the world, that was nothing. That was easy for him. That's why we say in Agadom, it's below Leo Shachlale, below Tishishusa. Rebbeinu Shlom didn't get exhausted from creating a whole world without Leyusa, below Tishishusa. He didn't get exhausted. He did it with one hand, Kalahayad. The whole Bria, all the everything in the world, he created with one hand, Kalahayad, everything. But Masheni King, building a Beis HaMikdash, Mikdash Hashem Korinu Yodecha, the Baruch Shalom has to participate with using both of his hands. Why? Because that's Maisa Tzadikim, that's more important, to build the Beis HaMikdash together with the human beings, to make a sheet of Pu'ula with human beings, that's more important. So that he places more emphasis, the Baruch Shalom places more emphasis, and he does it with both hands. So it's more important. Right? And he answers all the Pesukim. The Gemara says, Mesve, what do you do? Four lines from the bottom. What do you do with the Pasuk in Tehillim? Hashmai Pesach in Kotel Masa Yod, Magad Harakia, Maisa Yodov, Magad Harakia. The sky shows that the Rebbeinu Shalom created the, so it's Maisa Yodov is the sky. So that's both hands. You see, the Rebbeinu Shalom created the world with two hands, not with one hand. Everything in my name, Hachakama. Maisa Yedem Shal Tzadikim, Mi Magid Harakia, my Nihu Matar. When there's atziras geshamim and it rains because it's tzaddikim davin, so the Rebbeinu Shlom demonstrates by the rain coming after the tefillas of the tzaddikim, he shows how great the tzaddikim are. Ma'aseh yodov in the plural means that the greatness of the tzaddikim or mispalel is demonstrated in Magen Harakia when the rakia causes it to rain. But the Gemara says the world was created kalachayad with one hand. He didn't have to work so hard. Beis HaMikdash, that's b'shit of Pula with the human beings, that's more important. Then the Gemara quotes another Agadata from Bar Kappara, third Agadata. You should have a yosed for your ear. What is a yosed? That if you hear Nivol Peh, or you hear Dvar Mitelem, or you hear something that you're not, Lashonari, you hear something you shouldn't hear, you should put your finger in your ear. Yanech etzboi bi'oznav, and you shouldn't listen. And that's why, Rabbi Loza says, that's why Esbosu Shalodam, Adomously, you say this, they're sharp, but you should be able to stick your finger in your ear. You shouldn't listen to everything. You're not supposed to listen to everything. Shine. The Gemara says, what did he mean? It's Boris of Shalodim, Domusli is Sedos. Meaning that there are five separate fingers in order to be able to put the finger in the ear. No, the five separate fingers, each one has a halachic significance. So the Gemara says, why are they five instead of one? Each one has halacha in connection. The Amar, Zuzeris, the pinky is Zeris, next is Kmitza, Oma, Etzba, and Gudel. What's a halacha ramification? So Rashi says, Zeris, what's the din of Zeris? Rashi says, Zeris Shalchoshin. Zeris Okav, Zeris Rachbo. Zeris Shalchoshin. So Zeris means from here to here. The distance from here to here is Zeris. So you have to have that pinky in order to be able to measure that shear that the choshen should be Zeris Arka, Zeris Arka. What's Kmitza for the purpose of Kmitza? When you bring Mincha, so you do Kmitza, so you hold the flour, the coin holds the flour under the three fingers. You can't take a cup and scoop it up. You have to do a Dafka Biyadai. So you have to, these three fingers, and so whatever flour is held behind the three fingers, that's the Kmitza. So the Kmitza is the fourth finger, the one next to the pinky. That's where the Kmitza ends.
You need the Zeris to take off the bread.
Yeah, okay. Okay. You need it for that also. Need it also, yeah. So Rashi says Zeris for the Choshen. Could is that also for the Kmitza? Okay. What is Amo? Zu Amo? When you have an Amo. An Amo is the length of the arm, six tvachim, from the tip of the furthest finger to over here. Supposed to be six tochim. It's called Oma because that's the length of an Oma. What's Etzba? What's the significance of Etzba? The Matan Dama Shal Chatos, when Asim Be Etzboi, by a Chat, by all the other Kamanis, you pour from a Klisharis. And by Chatos, you have to do the Etzba. Etzba means the second finger, the finger next to the thumb. Can't just do with any finger. Rashi says it has to be Dafka the Etzba. What's the significance of the Gurul? Rashi says, the boy in Yad, the Aharon, and the Mitzor, when a Mitzor becomes Tohar. So they put the dam on the burn yod ha'imonis, the burn ragla ha'imonis, so that's halacha, that's dafke de agur. So the Gemara says, so what do you mean? Why are the five fingers separate? because halachic significant. Mar says, no, why the five fingers shaped like that? They should be able to stick it in the ear, not to listen to things that you're not supposed to listen to. Okay, we'll stop here. What's the story tomorrow? We'll find out tomorrow. Probably got to be a normal day. Normal day, okay. So what's on a normal Wednesday? What are we 12:45? 12:45.